Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. We've just lost to Liverpool. It was pretty shit, I think is the best way to describe that. And I don't really think there's any other ways to do it. I'm sure you've all listened to the final score of the score show and obviously our voice note reviews as well. If you haven't, please go back and listen to those before you listen to this, because we don't want to give you any spoilers. You know, we don't want to ruin it for you. You know, we don't want you to know that Iron Man dies at the end of Infinity War, but you know that now, and now it's been ruined for you if you haven't seen it, so that's on you. But I'm rambling because I'm trying to save ourselves from having to dissect what was an absolute travesty at Anfield. It is myself, it is Tomas, and he's finally back from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, producer Jordan's in the building. Tom, give him a clap.
Thank you.
Yay!
Thank you, everyone.
Yay!
It's been a long time.
I know, it has
years.
Been. Where the fuck have you been?
Oh, you know, I went and saw A Man About a Dog, and then I got distracted. But we're back. We're in the hizay. And I would say we're actually excited, but after that performance, I can't really be too excited about anything at the moment, really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we're looking to bounce back for the 349th time this season. That's a stat that's in front of me, and it's written by Tom. So
official stat.
It's an official stat from Stat Shagger. And it's against Wolves, who actually, if they beat us, will go ahead of us in the table. And we will be lower than 10th for the first time in about 7.5 years. So, you know, there is that.
Not really. We finished there last year, mate.
Lower than 10th.
Yeah, we finished 12th last year, mate.
Yeah, see, and I keep forgetting this, but that's mainly because I think I'm trying to just block that out of my head as much as I possibly
Understandable.
Can. Understandable. Like, it's just not on. But yeah, obviously, hopefully it can't get worse than it did at Anfield. Not like we're facing them at the back end of this month, which is... Yeah. Anyway, I mean, we could do the fun part. Let's just jump into the fun part and talk about Liverpool. So... Guys, what do we think about that?
Tom, you want to take the lead on this one?
Well, honestly, not really. I'd rather never talk about that game again. But as we're here and we run a Chelsea podcast, I guess we have to. What a shambles. It was so bad. Like, people have been moaning about the refereeing decisions today. I actually wasn't particularly bothered about either of them. I think the Conor Gallagher one could have been a pen on another day, but it's one of those that if it's given, it's not overturned. If it's not given, it's not overturned. It's clever from Van Dijk, to be honest. He's done just enough to avoid it being a stonewall penalty, in my opinion. Others will disagree. Fine. To be honest, even if we get a pen, that doesn't matter, because if they had a competent striker, they win that. They're genuinely close to double figures in that game, which is scary. He hit the post 4 times, obviously one from a penalty. I feel like they kind of coasted a bit as well at the end. Like, they had some random right back who played unbelievably well, but what's Chilwell doing half that game? Badia Shield needs to go. De Sassi was awful. Thiago Silva was rubbish. It was just one of those games. No one was good apart from Nkunku when he came on. I felt sorry for Petrovic because there's nothing he could have done about any of those goals. Just a shambles. Terrible performance. Let's move on.
Good.
I think, yeah. Just couldn't summarise it any better, to be honest. I mean, I do think Chilwell's got a lot of unfair slack, I will say that, purely because he's like 60% fitness. There's a lot of issues within the club itself which have led to that result. It's just been an example of many this season. But, you know, the second goal, he was getting yanked down, should have had a foul. But more importantly, in that position, he should have been supported by his winger, who, guess what? Didn't do it, because he doesn't do a lot, Raheem Sterling. Let's be brutally honest, big games, he doesn't turn up, he doesn't do the business, and how that man can still somehow pull on a Chelsea shirt is beyond me. But, you know, is what it is. We can still have fun, though, after this display, apparently. And according to Tom at the Echo, yes, we can. So I think we should just, you know, before we get into Wolves and go into it, here's the question. Really?
Yes.
This sucks so Alan Partridge. Okay, this is the Chelsea Echo's big question. What size animal do you no longer think you could beat in a fight?
What does no longer mean, by the way?
I don't know. I wrote that bit in the sort
does
of
does this
bit
mean
of
like
tiss,
at one point I thought I could beat this animal in a fight? Or
no. Okay, let's rephrase. What size animal? No, as in like at what level do you think you could no longer fight them? As in, can you fight like a cat, but can you fight
like
at what
like
level
a
do
level
you go
10
up to?
Cat or a like a
No. Like a, as in, like, can you fight a bear? Probably not. So, like, what animal can you not fight and win?
Leonardo DiCaprio could fight a bear. And also, bear in mind, is it just, you know, have you got anything with us? Is it like...
No, it's straight. It's hand-to-hand combat.
Hand-to-hand combat. I could take a bear.
Really?
You couldn't.
How old is this bear?
It doesn't matter.
Listen, mate, I lived near Ashdown Forest growing up. I saw Winnie the Pooh. I could fuck him up.
Of baby Khabib beating up a bear. So, full-size exactly, Louis see? Benaventi with a bear cub? Maybe. I'm not saying he could for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but a bear cub is a pretty small animal.
They're strong. They're crazy strong.
Yeah, but it's not about the strength, it's about the size. I don't necessarily know the answer to this, by
maybe
the way.
Maybe a pelican.
I thought it was funny.
It's about as far as I could go.
Quite comfortably the roguest answer I've ever heard.
It's a good one.
Or there's a bird that I always send my wife, who is absolutely terrified of birds, called a shoebill stork. And if you don't know what this is, I beg every single person listening to go and look this up on Google. It is...
How do you spell
shoebill
it?
Shoebill stork. S-T-O-R-K. Yeah, as in shoebill, like a bill, like a platypus kind of thing. It is a straight-up dinosaur living in Africa. I didn't know this animal existed till about a month ago. And my TikTok is overloaded with videos of shoebills. It is the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah,
seen.
No, these things are terrifying. I have heard stories about shoebill storks. And they are, yeah, they are terrifying creatures. They look like Tom after he's had about 5 pints.
Yeah.
It's the nose for me that does it.
I don't know what a shoebill stork looks like, but I'll just concur and agree and move
on.
I don't know what animal I can fight, but for quickness of time, I'm going to say an otter. Right, on to the game.
Otters are tiny. No, hang on. No, we're not just moving on. Otters are tiny.
They're quite vicious, though, I think.
Yeah, but otters are like, they're like the size of your forearm. Like, they're fucking tiny. Like, you could definitely take on like more than otter. I reckon you could take on like a chimp. Maybe. But then chimps are vicious.
They've got long arms.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I wouldn't really want to fight a chimp, to be honest.
We're going to have to do it at some point. We've all seen Planet of the Apes. It's going to happen. So, you know. What about a sheep or a ram?
Oh, I'd bat myself against a sheep, actually. Yeah. Although, if I have to be in front of it, if I go behind it, he kicks me, I'm fucked. But if I go in front of it, I bat myself.
Yeah. I mean, sheep's good. No, but I mean, you know, if you speak in a certain accent behind a sheep, maybe they'll be okay with it. I mean, pigs are actually very intelligent. Did you know? I think was it they're like the closest thing to humans.
Quite big.
All that weird.
But
yeah.
I just feel like if I get on top of it, it's gone. But then, like, likewise, if it gets on top of me, then I'm
Should
gone.
We get back to football?
Sorry, I've just got...
If we have to, I guess.
I didn't know you were talking to my ex, mate. Anyway, let's talk about the football, shall we? Let's get straight into it. And obviously, we'll get straight into the most important thing, aside from fighting animals in a fight, which you should let us know who you could beat. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yes, hello, guys. The only reason I'm still here. Stats Shaggers. And this week, after a resounding defeat... At Liverpool, we go to Wolves, who, if you have a very short-term memory, then you might not remember that we lost them on Christmas Eve. But overall, since our 2-1 win in the opening game between these two sides all the way back in December 1906, Chelsea edge Wolves just 44-42 on wins, and their 30 draws as well in the history. And since Wolves actually last came into the Premier League, the sides have met 11 times. And you'd think, you know, a newly promoted team, Chelsea probably had a bit of fun. No, we haven't. We've only won 3 of those games. Probably the most notable one being the 5-2 classic at Molineux in September 19, where, you know, all of the sort of Chelsea Academy lads, Tammy, Tomori, they all had their fun. I think Mason Mount also scored, if I remember rightly.
Christian Pulisic as well. We went to all of this, didn't we, in the previous one?
Christian Pulisic did not score. Or did he? I'm pretty sure Tammy got a hat-trick. Tomori scored and Mount scored. Pretty sure that was the day. But anyway... Interrupt the stat shaggers at your peril. Wolves have 4 wins, and there are also a total of 4 draws in that time. So, yes, since Wolves last came up to the Premier League, they've now beaten Chelsea more times than we have, which unfortunately is just embarrassing. In the past 5 games between the two clubs, Wolves also have the edge. They've won 2, obviously 1-0 last April, and then again 2-1 on Christmas Eve. 2 draws as well, 2-2 and a 0-0, and then just the 1 Chelsea win, a 3-0 on the 8th of October 2022. Now, back by popular demand, we're looking at the manager, Mauricio Pochettino. I haven't done a Poch against Gary O'Neill record because it doesn't exist. And quite frankly, it would be boring. But I have done a Poch against Wolves record. Now, Poch was at Spurs for 5 years. You'd think he probably played Wolves quite a few times. Again, you'd be wrong. He only played them twice at Spurs. 3 times total, obviously now we played them once. And he hasn't done very well. Only won one of those 3 occasions. Well, we know how the Chelsea game went. I've already said it twice. At Spurs, he won 3-2 at Molineux, but they were 3-0 up, so nearly bottled that. Ha, Spurs, lol. And lost 3-1 at home in the reverse. So Poch doesn't really like Wolves, which is great coming into this weekend. Hopefully he can amend that and we'll keep on our record going. Now, Wolves' recent form. We're recording this. It's now 7:25 on Thursday, so Wolves are yet to play Man United. That's an 8:15 kickoff. But they will come off the back of that game. So they won, lost or drew. We don't know yet, but one of those happened. And prior to that game, they've actually not lost in all competitions since December the 17th, when they lost 3-0 away at West Ham. So since then, they've quietly gone about their business. They've crept up to 11th. And as Louis already said, they actually have a chance to overtake Chelsea tonight against Erik ten Hag's feeble Man United. Or they could extend their lead against us. Sorry, if they win tonight, they could extend their lead. Or if they don't win, they can overtake us on Sunday. It's just not a great time to be a Chelsea fan, to be honest with you. And Wolves will be relishing that challenge. Since that West Ham game, they've beaten us 2-1 on Christmas Eve. They beat Brentford 4-1. They beat Everton 3-0. They then beat Brentford again 3-2 in the FA Cup third round replay after a 1-1 draw. They drew 0-0 to Brighton. And then, of course, the feisty affair at the Hawthorns, a 2-0 win in the FA Cup, and the fans scrapped each other. So, all in all, Wolves are in a very good place right now. Mateus Cunha is the main reason for that inspiration, for that run of form. Pedro Neto is back in the side, the postman, and they'll soon be back with Hwang Hee-chan too. Thankfully not before this Sunday. But all in all, this is a scary assignment for Chelsea, and they're going to have to be on it. But for now, it's back to you in the studio.
Thank you very much, Tomas. Appreciate that. It is going to be a fun old weekend, I think. 2 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday. Hopefully I'll still be hungover and forget to go to the game, because that's how confident I am with this fixture. But having said all of that, looking at Chelsea now, we've got to do our favourite bit, which is the Echo 11. Now, as Thomas said, we are filming this about 7:30 on deadline day. And also by that time, by the time you've heard this, you will hopefully have heard Final Score with the Score doing his transfer deadline day special, all of which we should be involved if Tom gets back from paddle, you know, in time. That's, can I just say, it's very Southwest London, isn't it? It's like, what are you going to go play five-a-side? You're going to maybe go play some rugby, Rich Park? No, so I've recently discovered paddle and I absolutely love it.
It's very raw, is what it is.
It is.
Well, I've been playing it for 2 years for a start, and I also called it padel.
Padel.
Fuck, I'm not a raw guy here, guys. Maybe I am, but that's not what I'm trying to be.
He covers it up by saying he can speak Spanish.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's all it is. We've been there before, mate. You know, don't worry about it.
That's why I went and learned Spanish, just for that reason.
Well, let's get into the 11 straight off the bat. To be honest, right, this is the Chelsea Echo 11, as we always say. So we don't really care what angle Poch is going to go with. And the first thing I would like to nominate is a formation change. Gentlemen, I'm thinking a 3-4-3. All in favour, say aye.
Aye. Wow. Nothing from Mr. Masters.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't really know. I don't really like any of the defenders, so getting 5 on the pitch is kind of scary to me. But well, yeah, fine.
The logic behind it is the fact that it covers up our frailties, and I appreciate there's trying to, you know, be tactically nuanced, but at the same time, when we've had the opportunity to cover our frailties, we haven't done it. And obviously, we're definitely touching it in the transfer quite briefly. Pochettino wants more experienced players, they don't get brought in. Pochettino wants a striker, doesn't get brought in. Pochettino wants a left back, doesn't get brought in. We can say yet, but you know, let's be honest, we've got about 2.5 hours or 3.5 hours and we'll find out. If we do, it's going to be signing, like, I don't know, some random geezer from Venezuela. I want to say geezer, he's 12. But you know, aside from that, we'll move swiftly into it. I'd say a formation change. Goalkeeper picks itself, I'd say. Jordi Petrovic, are we happy
super
with that?
Super Serb.
Exactly, yeah. Super Serb. Back three, I'm going to go Thiago Silva in the middle. I'm going to go... I mean, we haven't really got much choice, have we? Axel Disasi on the right and Bedouin Badiachile on the left. That is literally just it. Wing-backs, Chilwell and Gusto. I'll go for a double pivot in midfield. I'll go Caicedo and Enzo. Boys, feel free to stop me if you disagree at any point. And then the front three will be fun. Because one of them picks himself, which is obviously Cole Palmer. But the other two, do you just throw Nkunku in and yes. risk not seeing him ever again? Or do you not risk it and play Palmer in the false nine and then do someone else?
Play him.
I agree.
Yeah? Okay. So we've got...
We need to get him up to speed ahead of the cup final. Because he was the only player, as I said, who looked half decent against him yesterday. And if we can get a fully fit firing Nkunku in that game, then maybe we'll have a chance. If not, it's going to be another ugly affair. So let's get him in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Nkunku up front. And then you got Palm on the right. Who's going on the left?
It's got to be Misha.
I agree, personally. But I know...
Even though he missed a sort of Jondal Thomason-esque miss early in the half.
The thing about Mudryk, I guess, is that he at least tries, which is more than you can say about that man Sterling, who I hope is gone this summer.
That's how I used to feel about Timo.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's one of those. Mm. I don't mind him if he's shit, if he tries. Same with Lukaku.
I agree.
He was fucking lazy, which I hated.
Yeah. And Ziyech. I just don't... That's the thing. It doesn't work with the fans. It just doesn't work. If you're not playing well and you're lazy, it's just not going to... Like, at least Mudryk and Werner, those are kind of players. They're workhorses. They give it a go. I don't... If I'm honest, I don't like that team at all. But as you say, what choice do we have? I don't like the back three. I think they're all rubbish. Harsh on Thiago Silva, maybe, but I think his form has dipped significantly in the past month or two. Mm. And I thought he was absolutely shocking last night. I think Badiachile, I don't know what's happened to him because he was really good last year, but since his injury and he's come back from that, he's been shocking. And I just don't rate the Sassy. But we don't have anyone else because Cole was injured, and that's what we've got. So we'll have to go with it and hope they somehow unite... I don't know, in some magical French way.
What about the Zassi bothers you? Because I rate him higher than I rate Badiachile. But to me, the Zassi hasn't particularly done a massive amount wrong, I don't think.
I just don't think he's good enough, mate. I just think he's slow, he's lethargic. Maybe it's just his frame and I'm just... You know, it's a bit like Kukure. I feel like half the reason I don't like Kukure is because of his hair and it just annoys me. But I just think the Zassi... I just don't think he's good enough, quite frankly. Mm. I think... He's just, you know, he's obviously got a bit more. He's got time on his side because there's no other option, so he's going to play. But I don't think him or Badiachile are good enough. Badiachile, it's a weird one. As I said, last year he was really good, and I thought, oh, this is a good signing. And then he got injured. He came back, and he's just been absolutely terrible every time he's played, and I don't know why. And he's played a full 90 yesterday somehow, again, because we have no one else. And he's rubbish. But, you know, as Lewis said, we've got no one else, so we're just going to have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's we brought it up in the preview, actually. And I think it's worth bringing up again just to reinforce the point, right? Chelsea, since June 2019, Chelsea have had, right, 271 injuries in the last 234 weeks. So that's going back to June 1st, 2019. That's more than one injury per week. And that is in nearly 5 years. So this injury issue goes back far further than anything else. And it's something which, you know, we need to definitely address amongst the many other things. But it's a big reason why results like the Liverpool one happen. You know, if you took a fully fit Chelsea team on paper, right? So we're talking probably what? Levi Colwill and Thiago Silva at centre-back. Ben Chilwell left back, Reece James right back. You're then going to go Nkunku in the 10 be Nkunku up front actually, and then you'd have what? Romeo Lavia, Caicedo and Enzo as a midfield three. Allegedly, that was the plan anyway. And then, you know, left wing, you've got what? Mudryk, and right wing, you've got Cole Palmer. I think that team goes toe-to-toe with that Liverpool side last night. But the fact remains... We just do not have the players. And we've also released a lot of the players, which could make a difference.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that. The big thing for me is, like, I appreciate there's, like was again said, we're touching it in the final score show this evening, which will be live on Twitter. Well, you'll have already heard it, hopefully. You know, letting go of players and not replacing them in this window is a farce. It's an absolute farce. And it just goes to show the money's not been spent wisely. And when we talk about having the best in class in terms of technical directors, it's a load of bollocks because we don't. Might be cracking scouts, but other than that, they don't have anything else. But yeah, I mean, that's by the by. We'll definitely talk about that later. But that is the Chelsea Echo 11. And briefly, before wrapping up, we'll crack on to the usuals, and that is analysis. Okay? So, Chelsea are coming back off a shocker. Wolves are in great form. And it comes down to those magical words. Once again, this is a quote-unquote massive game, gentlemen, is it not?
I think it is. I think it's a must win. I think it's if this continues, and I don't think any of this is Poch's fault at all. I think it's the board and the players. I think if this continues, Poch may be in a little bit of trouble. Not with the board, but I think fans, you know how they are, you know how football is. I think he's going to come under quite a bit of scrutiny if we can't get a result against a not great Wolves team.
Okay, I get that. But at the same time, like, again, this isn't on you. But it's like when people say that, like, they were talking about getting rid of him straight away and we just need to bring somebody in. It's like, okay, well, who? And you need to think, of, like, it's finding the solution because the mess is everywhere. The mess is everywhere. And I appreciate we've had a really good run over the past month. You know, realistically, we haven't played anyone worthy, really, or anyone of note. And when we've come up against sides, and we've actually fallen foul to it on here, when we talk about it, we think, oh, you know, if you look at these games, we actually go toe-to-toe with these bigger sides. We actually do well. We've done that in one game this season, if you actually look at it for face value, which is the City game. You know, we talk about Spurs away when we beat them. Yeah, they played had nine men, they played a high line. They basically gave it to us in the play, and we still struggled to break through. United away, less said the better. West Ham at the beginning of the season, less said the better. I appreciate what everyone says in terms of the issues, but there is no solution right now.
No, I agree.
Other than fixing everything. I mean, Tom just looks like he disagrees. He's gone, well, why?
Well, I don't know. I don't think we can just... Ultimately, as you said there, we haven't played anyone good. It seems the first decent team we play, and this isn't even like full-strength Liverpool either. This is Liverpool. They're missing Salah. They're missing Trent from their first team. They're missing a couple of midfielders as well, and they absolutely battered us. As I said, if Darwin was Haaland, then they're putting eight behind us, like comfortably, and then there's other chances they missed as well. And we wouldn't even be talking about this now. Poch would be gone this morning. I think... Yes, the thing is, yes, the players aren't good enough. That's fine. That's evidently clear. The board have made several mistakes. They've spent £1 billion and probably at least half of that, if not more, is on absolute rubbish. So they're going to have to amend that. And we're just setting ourselves back more money and basically we're further behind in the project than they thought we were. But it's the mentality. How do we go to Anfield? It's a difficult place to go. We knew they were going to be up for it. They were going to be inspired. And we were rubbish from pretty much minute one. We didn't show any fight. You know, Nkunku, as I said, I keep mentioning his name because he was the one positive. He came on and actually fired us up a bit and looked good and scored a goal. He's played about 7 minutes and he scored two goals in the league. The other one against Wolves, obviously, when he came on there. So I don't think Poch is blameless. I'm not saying he's to blame, but I don't think he's blameless either. And also, you know, when things are happening like that, and I appreciate those injuries, he doesn't have an awful lot of options on the bench, but he just kind of looked clueless. And it doesn't, whether that's, you know, maybe he's not, but that's just the kind of the sort of air, the grace he kind of gives us from the bench there. I don't know, but I don't think he's blameless, but he's definitely not fully to blame. I get that, but he's definitely...
I like that he at least tried yesterday. You know, he pulled three guys off at, what was it, halftime? I like that. He was at least trying. You know, in the past, we've had managers where have waited till the 70th, 80th minute to try and make a change.
Yeah,
at least he's trying to make something happen.
I get that, but same time, I think Pochettino came in with some fans already on the back foot, and he endeared himself to a certain extent very quickly with that first interview. And since then, some of the comments he's made haven't helped. and look, if you're just talking as a straight football man or a straight football lady or straight football, whatever you are, right? In this situation, we're just talking about the game. I appreciate where he's gone. It's just one game. We need to move forward. You know, or after the Middlesbrough, you know, first leg's up, we've still got another leg to go. It's like, yeah, but Poch, like, you need to... No one's excited at the minute. And we're looking for a figurehead to give us that excitement, give us that exuberance. And he just doesn't do it. When he goes, oh, it was just one game. We got played off the park yesterday. And obviously, as Tom's already said, we're further behind this, you know, project or in whatever way it is, you know, whatever you call it, because I don't even know what it is anymore. Because the biggest, another issue we've got is they talk about wanting to be a project, but then they want top four. But if they want to play top four, they don't want to pay for the big players. They don't want to get the big players in to allow them. It's a never-ending cycle. So he's not blameless, as we said, but, you know, I think it's going to be a rough old time. And just as long as there's a constant improvement, which, to be fair, there has been. You know, we're in a cup final. We have scored more goals. We conceded less. We're closer to fifth, sixth than we were when we were 10th last year. So there has been movement in the right direction with one hand tied behind his back. I do think it'd be good to see what he can do when he has the vast majority of those players available from March onwards. And obviously that's when Reece is set to be back. Romeo Lavia was £60 million wasted because he's just not fit and they don't know when he's going to be back. Hence why I said maybe we should loan him out in January, because now we're going to be having a player who's had 1 year not playing football and expecting a 19-year-old to step up to the plate, which isn't fair on him. But, you know, it's a rough one and it is a big game. And, you know, obviously the opponents we've got as well. Look, I'll hand this straight over to Tom straight away because he had a hard on for him in Fantasy League at the beginning of the season. Right, obviously Pedro Neto is back, he's doing well. Cunha is another player who's stepping up to the plate, and we actually need to be able to defend after that shambles on Wednesday, right?
Yes, they call him the postman, and they don't call him the postman for nothing. He delivers. He was at one point, and even after a month after being injured, he still had the most assists in the league. He's now been overtaken. But he's still got 7 assists in the league. He's got a few goals as well. And he looked really good, really sharp against West Brom. Yeah, okay, it's only West Brom. But, you know, we were applauding players who were sharp against Middlesbrough and Preston. So, same thing. I think him and Cunha is a very good, you know, kind of little and large kind of partnership. They're still, as I said, missing Hwang at the moment because he's coming back from the Asia Cup. They're a good side. They've got a solid midfield. People like Mario Lemina is a good player. They've got, you know, tough defenders like Dawson and a good goalkeeper. So, you know, they're a solid Premier League side. They've gone about their business, as I said earlier, quietly this season. And, if we play like we did yesterday, we get absolutely battered again. So we're going to have to sharpen up and sharpen up fast. But as I say, I just really question the mentality.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. You know, I think JT is there and around, you know. He's around Cobham. He's always posting it. He should be in the dressing room. You should be in there with the guys trying to get them the mentality. We have no leadership, nothing. We're expecting a sort of 39-year-old Thiago Silva who's a great footballer. His legs are going, clearly, you know, he's as expected. He's gone well past his sort of sell-by date. And the other one's sort of Raheem Sterling. Sterling's never really been too much of a leader as it is. He's always sort of played well in a good team when he puts good performances in. But there's just nothing. No one in the squad screams what Chelsea used to be. And I feel like we're sort of beating the drum constantly about this. There's just no remnants of the Chelsea that we know.
That's because they don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want that round around the players. They don't want that. The whole culture behind the scenes at Chelsea has changed. There was a cutthroat nature, but as soon as you got your job done, you go home, you do your stuff, right? Just as long as you did everything and you did it to a very good standard, which is actually very much how I'd like to think we're trying to operate. You know, as long as we get our stuff done, we do it to a very good standard, we're happy because we're setting ourselves that quality that we want to be, right? And, you know, the reality is right now it's all become so Americanized. Everything about it's kind of Americanized. Even stuff off the pitch, like that Argyle post as an example. You know, it's a case of they've gone, oh, well, you know, on the MLB, we did this with the LA Dodgers, and this worked great. And obviously, the thing is, right, Twitter Tacticos and anybody, I think, yeah, not even anybody during those sanctions saw Todd Bowley, Bedag Barley, Clear Lake Capital with a clear plan in comparison to the other people they're competing with, say what they wanted to do, where they wanted to go, and we clung to it because we had no idea where we were going. The reality has been very different to the dream they tried to sell, much like the American dream. You know, you talk about, you know, if we're going to get, you know, into literature, which I'm sure Gary would love and he would appreciate, of Mice and Men, you know, talking about the American dream and, you know, how important it is to build what you want, all that sort of stuff. We've been sold that. And the reality is it doesn't exist. It's not real. It's dying. And it's just an example of projecting onto us. You know, it's a little thing. It doesn't impact it. The Argyle poster, but it does impact it. It's just something constant in the periphery where it's just a marketing tool. And I understand that marketing needs to be made and things need to be done. Like, I wasn't annoyed about the Hilton thing, that bed at the women's game, because we didn't sell out. So they maximised the profits so that we could fund other things for the women's game. That's great, right? But there's certain things where it's like just having that lack of empathy and that lack of emotional intelligence around a culture, which is now having a knock-on effect. And we're seeing it. And all of us are just not... it's just not going to happen. We're going to talk about what we want to see and how we want to see the culture build, but it just simply is not going to happen. Like, you look at, I mean, when Ryan Bramwich came, he brought in Peter Kenyon, somebody who knew football straight off the bat and understood the culture, because he didn't get it, but he learnt. He left himself open and went, right, you guys know what you're doing, teach me. And then they took on board, these guys aren't doing that. They're not. Daniel Finkelstein, I think, is the only person on that board who actually does understand it. But then at the same time, you know, I don't feel he's able to get everything he wants across. And I'd love to find out. I'd love, off mic, on mic, whatever, I'd love to just sit and have a conversation. Just like, I'm not coming as an aggressor. I'm obviously upset, as all of us are, but I want to understand where we're going. I just want some semblance of clarity. Just one thing, like, again, I know it's very much saying it's flogging a dead horse, you know, in the same situation we're saying when they came in during the sanctions, we just want to cling on to one thing. I just want one thing to show that they understand what they're doing and where they're going. I just want them to, I'm not expecting them to lay everything out, because they're not going to do that. But just give us something, man. Just give us something to say, why is this happening? What are you doing? I don't know. Maybe it's just a PTSD from playing Wolves. In the cup.
I have
in the cup and crap before Christmas. But yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Let's hope we do this, lads. Let's hope we're more positive going into next week's game.
Absolutely. It's just absolutely isn't another must-win game. And the beauty of us doing this record on deadline day is we thought we might be able to talk about transfer news. We can't, because there's absolutely sweet fuck all to talk about. Apart from, you know, some other bits which we're going to save for the Twitter space. But yeah. We'll have to see. I'd say, how do we beat them? But to be honest, I don't care. We've just got to beat them. It's that simple now. It's at that point. But guys, that has been the Chelsea Echo. That has been your match preview for Chelsea versus Wolves. A 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Make sure you do get involved in Final Score with the Score if you're not at the game. If you are at the game and you're walking back, you want to join in and listen, please do. Obviously, available as a Twitter space straight after the game, Final Score. Obviously, you've got the Score and rambles, and then obviously people hopping in to have a chat. I sort of give my post-match analysis, and the rest of the boys will be as well. Obviously, you've got the voice note review straight after the game as well. But that is everything from us this week. Yeah, uneventful January, I think it's safe to say, transfer-wise. And undoubtedly, we'll talk about that later. But this has been the Chelsea Echo. This has been a fantastic show. I actually really did enjoy it, especially the talk about small animals at the beginning. Definitely think I could take a badger, having thought about it even further. But let us know all of the animals you could take. Make sure you drop us a line on Twitter. Let's come up with a Chelsea Echo hashtag. I want someone to at us and then give us a hashtag to do with small animals fighting.
Do you know what I'd love to see?
What?
Do you know what? I'd love to see some AI images of Louis getting chased through the bush by different animals. That's what I'd really, really enjoy.
AI, you know, I'd be slightly worried if images of AI can find my face and do it. but I'm actually intrigued. And I already know, you've said that, because there's one person that will absolutely do it. So big shout out to him. So yeah, pick five animals that are chasing me that aren't obvious, I think. Like, you don't want to say, oh, I've been chased by a tiger, I've been chased by a lion. No. Give us some really weird shit. Like, being chased by, I don't know, an elephant with the head of Tom and Jordan. Or Ooh. Just like some, yeah, some creepy shit like that. Yeah, give us that. At us. Let us know. But guys, that has been the Chelsea Echo. Make sure you engage with it. Make sure that you follow us on our socials. Have a chat. Come see us after the games. Tell your family. Tell your dog, because you're going to have a fight with it. And tell your friends. And we will see you later. Ta-da.